Meeting. This is Don Stone, pastor of the Helotes Independent Baptist Church, and I'm here to share the Word of God with you today, and I do trust that I can be a blessing and a help to you as I bring the message that the Lord has given. I'll be speaking to you today on the subject of Jesus, the one who delivered us from the wrath to come. Our text will be found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Let me read for you now from the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And there's a lot said in these two verses here. But there's a main subject in here, or a good subject in here, I want us to look into today, and future judgment, saved us from the wrath to come, the Apostle Paul said. Now, Paul is thankful for these folks of Thessalonica. As we look back into the previous verses of chapter 1, we find out that he's thankful for the receiving of the gospel. He said, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And which means that they were just not just persuaded by human reason, but there was an empowering upon the preacher to preach the gospel. There was an enabling of the congregation to hear, or the assembly to hear, the message that was presented. And certainly then there was the ability to apply that which had been accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. And he then saved them from the wrath to come. But Paul's thankful that they received the gospel not just in word, but rather that there was an accompanying presence of the Holy Spirit of God. They're thankful, or he is thankful rather, that they have turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. My, what a blessing it is to see converts as the Lord works in their lives. They turn to God from idols, and they begin to serve God and put forth a great effort for the cause of Christ. And then, of course, in the case that is before us, they are now waiting for Jesus Christ to come. And Jesus saved them from the wrath to come. And thus, we have some introduction to the subject. Now let's look into the message itself. First of all, there is a future judgment for unbelievers. There is a future judgment for unbelievers. Now, some folks don't believe in a judgment. First of all, they don't believe in God, therefore they don't believe in judgment. But I am persuaded that God is, and that there is a God who is going to judge mankind. He's going to deal with man. He gives him a span of time here on earth. It is appointed unto man once to die. He's born. He's to live a certain amount of time. It varies from person to person, but one day there will come death, and then after death, the judgment. We must be aware of the fact that there is a personal judgment. We will face Jesus Christ. You'll not skirt this issue. You will face Jesus Christ one day. You will have to give an account of your life and yourself before Him. We must face Christ in this matter. We are accountable to Christ in this matter. There is just no opportunity to escape accountability. We as creatures of God, we as His, by right of creation, are expected to do what's right and to perform as we ought to perform, and therefore God has a right to judge, and we're accountable. Then there will be a worldwide judgment as we think about that great time whenever the Antichrist comes on the scene. There's going to be a worldwide judgment as God judges the world in a general sense. There's going to be vials of plagues that are poured out. There'll be voices of thunder. There'll be very demonstrations in this, but there will be a judgment of God that will come on this whole world. Now, the sinner today is in great peril. The nature of sin. What is sin? Well, let me see if I can't give you some picture, some design, some definition. First of all, sin is rebellion against God. Whenever Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden, there by the design of God, they were to be keepers of that garden. They were to be keepers of creation. They were told that there was one particular tree in the midst of the garden, and the fruit of that tree they were not to partake of. In the day that thou eatest thereof, they were told, thou shalt surely die. There is always that one who is so brilliant and thinks that they found the loophole, and they'll say, well, they didn't die that day. Oh, yes, they did die the very day that they partook of the forbidden fruit. They died spiritually. They died to God. No longer would the Lord walk with them. Now he would not come in the cool of the day as he had done before and converse with them. Certainly they are going to have to deal with this issue of sin now, and it is rebellion against God. It is the transgression of God's law according to the Word of God. It means literally that we have taken and the very law of God that God gave, we have determined that we can live without it, that we can live on our own terms. We don't have to worry about whether or not we take the name of the Lord God in vain, whether we keep the day, the Sabbath day, whether we covet or whether we don't, and on down the line. There is certainly the idea, the picture of a transgressed law. And we transgress in this matter of sin. Man lost communication with God in the fall. When man sinned, he no longer could immediately approach God in a straightforward fashion as he had been able to do before times in that state of innocence. But now he's conscious of his nakedness, and the Bible tells us that he hides himself from the Lord. But sin is a transgression of God's law. Man lost communication with God. Sin demonstrated its polluting nature, for Adam hid himself. God said to him, Adam, what are you doing out here? And he said, I hid myself because we were naked. The Lord asked, who told you were naked? Well, it was common knowledge to them now because they had partaken of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They understood sin now and that they were guilty before God. Therefore, they hid themselves and made themselves the fig leaf aprons. But sin is polluting in its nature. And certainly spiritual death occurred and leads to physical death from that moment on. And man then is driven from the garden and at the gate of the garden to keep the way to the tree of life is the cherub placed with a flaming sword. Certainly we see then the nature of sin, that it is a very heinous thing and a very dangerous thing. The sinner is in peril because of the brevity and the uncertainty of life. We're told that by James that life, your life is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. Oh, how quickly does the cloud structures change, and so it is with man. How quickly we grow from young to old. Our lives are changed and changed forever because of the brevity and the uncertainty of life. Man is in a dangerous place and in peril. We're told that man's allotted days are 70, which means that he has about 70 years that are allotted to him. But many times folks don't make it nearly that far in life, and they die young. Certainly, we see then that A man's life is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then just vanishes away. Man does not know what a day may bring forth. Now, we might guess what a day might bring forth. We might even do a good job of guessing sometimes. But the truth of the matter is that you and I really are not capable of saying what a day will bring forth. We are to say that if the Lord wills, we'll do thus and such. The sinners, again, in peril because of the brevity and the uncertainty of life. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. Now, let's look at the subject of divine judgment. Israel is commanded to be holy. God is righteous. God, as a person, is righteous. And God is just. And a just and a righteous God must punish sin. Else there'll be no excuse. Hell awaits the unrepentant sinner today. Man will be judged. There is a divine judgment that is upon sinners. And then there's the work of deliverance. I always like to come to the work of deliverance and the place of deliverance. And here we're told that there is a work of deliverance. What had come to do the work? Man's totally depraved, therefore he's not the one. Jesus is absolutely sinless, therefore he can be the one and will be the one and is the one who is to come into this world to save sinners, as Paul said, of whom I am chief. Jesus is absolutely sinless. He finished the work that the Father gave him to do, and that was the work of redeeming lost sinners from their fallen state. Blood atonement is necessary. Sin is the price, or has the price, of death. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if we're going to be saved today, we have to come by way of Jesus Christ, who could work the work of deliverance. Oh, it is important today what we believe about sin. It's important to understand judgment. And certainly blood atonement is necessary because the life of the flesh is in the blood. All who are under the blood of Jesus Christ are absolutely secure. John 10, verse 29, Jesus gives eternal life to his sheep. My sheep hear my voice, they know me, they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. All that you might be saved today.